Good morning again, church. Thank you, Louie, and thank you, team. With every new year, there's a lot of optimism. Probably a lot of you, maybe you're still just recovering from the holidays, I don't know. It's like, oh yeah, that year went, didn't it? Okay, there's a new one. Or maybe some of you are going to be like me and still be writing 2022 on all the dates on checks and any kind of papers for until next December. But the New Year's can be filled with a lot of optimism because it's a time when we start developing new plans, new visions. The beginning of the year is usually a permission for us to start looking into the end of this year and into the next year. That could be a really good thing. Some of you probably have goals, good goals, financial goals, to get a clean budget, to get it in control of your money. That's good. To be a good steward of your resources. That's good. Some of you probably have health goals, to be a good steward of the body that God has given you. That's really good. Family goals, whatever. Maybe a lot of you have all of these efforts or at least plans in your mind that, I really want to be a good steward of these things. And we get all revved up and fired up at first, don't we? But we know how the cycle goes, right? We make our plans. And usually around January 15th, right, we get discouraged. We look, and that's because we see we did not live up to our expectations, and then we start seeing what we wanted to become. And boy, all the scenarios start to happen. Well, what if this happens? I want to be financially secure, but what if this or this or this happens? I want to be healthy again, but what about this and this? I want to take control of my family. I want to be a better man or a better woman or a better person. What about all these things that are happening? And then we start seeing all the prospects in the future, and the future begins to flood us with that feeling in our chest, or in our stomach, or in our heads, or in all three at the same time. What do we call that sensation? We can call it a lot of things. Call it anxiety, worry. And all of these are a cousin to fear. You see all the uncertainties of the future. Yes, at the beginning it's very exciting, but then when you start looking at all the things that could be, you're overwhelmed by all of what could be, and then this emotion happens. It's called fear. And fear stretched out over a period of time is called anxiety. But what do? When we begin to feel that emotion. In general, this is kind of basic, but we tend to do one of two things, or a variety of one of these two things. When we begin to make our plans for improvement, and then we see all the ways that we could fail or things could not happen according to plan, we either do one or two things. We have this goal in our hands, and then we see how heavy it is, and we just say, we give up, we drop it. We let it go, we give up, maybe next year, maybe never. I'm just not good enough for that anyway. Or, the other side of the spectrum, is we take that and we see all the things that can happen to this ambition of ours, and instead of letting it go, letting it fall on the ground, we hold on to it tightly and we say, nothing is going to get in the way of this. And anybody who comes close to it, we just bare our teeth. So we try to take control of our budget, and then we ultimately just become misers with our money, never generous. Could be a source of freedom is actually another source of slavery in our lives. We try to be healthy, but then we just becoming just health Nazis and everything, never having fun in life. We want to improve our relationships, but really we're just putting more and more demands on other people bearing more burdens on them. We want to have a better family, but really we just heap burdens upon our spouses and children or grandchildren. Do you see how this works? That's how we typically respond when we get into fear. We either let it go and give up, or we get really intense and just clamp on and not let go, hurting us and other people in the process. But you know, Jesus says that there's a third way. Those are the two ways that we tend to operate. But Jesus says there's a third way. Now, I've been giving you a picture of like having something like an ambition, a goal, something you want. Not all of it's bad. It's good to have a good budget. It's good to want to be healthy. It's good to want to improve your relationships. But what's wrong with this picture is that you're the only set of hands in the picture. So we tend to let go or to clamp on to our ambitions when we forget that there's actually another set of hands right in front of us, the hands of our Father. What's the third way? We can either let it go in the bad way, give up, clamp on. What's the third way? Letting our Father have it. Letting His hands take it. And letting us just continue to stand before Him. Cody, is this another just give it to God sermon? Okay, I get it. How do I do it? Well, thankfully, there are things that we can do to kind of help that process. Because I understand, I don't want to be overly simplistic. Just give it to God. Sounds simple enough, but how do I do it? The work of faith is not always like working a muscle, is it? I can move my arm, right, like this, but the movement of faith isn't always that simple, right? It's not. So what are some ways that we can go about that? Well, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, talking about worry or anxiety, I think gives us principles to how we go about this. And I'm going to divide this up into four pieces. How then do we give this to God? How do we go walk this third way? We have our ambitions and our goals and our worries that we can either give up or clamp on. How do we walk this third way and give it to our Father? Well, there are really four ways, four things that we can do. Look Him in the eye. Listen to His logic. Let Him take it. And let ourselves receive. I'll keep going over this, but look Him in the eye, listen to His logic, let Him take it, and then let ourselves be open to receive. So let me give you this text in general. This is a very familiar text in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. And he begins to say, I'm telling you all, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about your life or your livelihood, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, or about your body. And he says, isn't life more important than food? Is the body more than clothing? And then he says, hey everybody, look up. Look at the birds. Look at them. Do you see them? Are they gathering up their food and storing it in their fridges and freezers? No? Okay. But does your Heavenly Father feed them? He does. And aren't you more valuable than they are? And then he says, okay, all right, also look again. And then he, take a look at the grass. Look down. Let's say, look up, now look down. Consider the grass and the weeds and the flowers, all the wildflowers that are growing about. Look at them. Are they, do they have all these beautiful flowers, kind of like these poinsettias? Is it poinsettia or poinsettia? I don't know. I still never know, okay? I'm just telling you. So if I pronounce it wrongly, just give me grace there. But look at plants. Did did they make these colors? Did they dye their own colors? Did they weave together the leaves for themselves? Did they do that? No. But yet, aren't they beautiful? Aren't even wildflowers beautiful? Sometimes we mow them down, but even like wildflowers when they grow in the fields, they're with all the different colors, they're beautiful, and we just want to look at them. It's like they even look more grand than Solomon did at the height of his kingdom. Will not your Father clothe you in the same way? Jesus says. And aren't you more valuable than they are? So he's like, don't be anxious about these things. The Gentiles seek after these things. But rather you need to make sure you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all those things will be added to you. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Right? Tomorrow's going to worry about itself. There's enough trouble today, y'all. Sorry, I gave the y'all. I inserted that in there. Everyone said, Jesus talks like a Galilean. Galileans were not refined. They were kind of like country folks. So he may have had the Aramaic version of you all in there somewhere, okay? So we all know this. We've heard this before. That's good. And all of this teaching is couched in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he's actually talking about serving God or serving money. And so, when you hear this, when he says, don't worry, he's not saying, oh, you have nothing to eat, don't worry about it. Now, there probably are occasions where that could be. He's not talking to people who have nothing, and he's like, yeah, don't do anything about it, just be cool, man. He's not saying that. Because he's talking about the relationship of serving God and serving money. He's talking about people who have actually some food in the fridge and some clothes on their back. Because that's where, those are the people who actually worry the most, right? Because actually, there's a good use of worry. Did you know that? Let me just give a little bit of just good. There's actually fear and worry can be used for good. If you have nothing to eat in your fridge, the right response is not to sit on your couch and go, well, I guess that's what it is. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to look for a job. I'm not going to work for something so I can buy that. That's the wrong thing to do. Rather, you need to have a little fire go up in your belly and say, I need to do something about this, right? That's what we call good fear. I need to do something about this. Okay, let me take action to then improve the situation. When Jesus talks about worry, he's not talking about that good fear, that good worry that sparks us into needed action, okay? He is talking about the worry that happens when we have our necessities generally met, but then we start to look in our fridge or we look in our closets or we look at our bank accounts and we say, okay, I have enough and I have some good plans, but then I start thinking about the future and I go, oh, no. And then I want to do either of two things, give up, it's no use being responsible with my money. It's no use being a better man or a better woman or a better father or a better son. It's no use, you know, taking care of myself. That's what he's talking about. So now, let's now get into how then we, in that place of anxiousness, when we start to look at our lives and we are tempted to either give up, clamp down, we see the hands of our Father, how then do we proceed to give it to God? The first thing, like I said, is we look him in the eye. As we look him in the eye. And it is look him in the eye because you look him in the eye because you need to see that your Father actually cares for you. That's the point I'm trying to get at. Because what is the whole theme of this passage of Jesus talking about anxiety? What did he say about the birds? He says, hey, look at the birds. They don't, you know, they're not storing up their food, right? They're not going to the grocery stores. They're not planting their harvests. And then he says, hey, are you not more valuable than they are? And then he talks about the grass and he says, if God so clothes them, will he not also clothe you? You have little faith. And then he later says that your Father knows everything you need. You see, the thing is, a lot of us don't know how to give our worry to God or even stand before God in our worry because we don't really believe that God actually thinks that we're valuable or that God actually cares. And but what is Jesus saying? That you have a Father who actually cares. He actually does. Whether you believe it or not, you have a Father who actually cares. Look him in the eye and then receive that. Are you not more valuable than the birds? Are you not more valuable than the grass? Doesn't your Father know what you need? And folks, like, well, how does that relate to him caring? Guys, if the Father knows what you need, that shows that he's taking account of you. I know what you need. I know more than you do. Because I'm looking at you. And I know. You see, many of us are tempted in our worry to give up. Because at the end of the day, we don't think anyone cares. If no one cares, why should I? Right? If no one cares, why should I? But the first step on giving your worry to your Father is to then actually believe what he says to you. Look Jesus in the eye and say, do you care about me? And do you know what he's going to say? Of course I do. You are more valuable than the birds. You're more valuable than the grass. Well, that's not saying much, Cody. More valuable than birds and grass, but you get the point. Jesus is saying, he's being humorous. Are you not more valuable than they? He's kind of like, duh, you're way more valuable. Your Father knows. Some of you are holding on to all this worry, or have been giving it up and all your worries on the floor because you've just been given up over and over again because at the end of the day, you have not been able to receive that your Father actually cares. But what Jesus wants from you is to be able to pick up that worry. And even if you're holding on to the worry still, he says, hey, look at me. And you can take your worry with me. And now all you need to do is just believe that I care. Some of y'all, that's the first step, that your Father cares. But then the next step, look him in the eye, receive that he cares. Next is to listen to his logic. It's kind of funny. Listen to his logic, that sounds kind of, But Jesus actually gives a couple kind of funny logical arguments, doesn't he? Here and there. The first one is when he talks about the birds. He says, now, how many of you all, by worrying, can add 1 foot to your height? Can you? Also, he says, and if the grass is gone tomorrow, today, here today and gone tomorrow, will he not take more care of you? And then he also says, listen, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What is Jesus saying? The first thing, listen to his logic. Some of us hold on, and this is more for those who maybe have a tendency to clamp on to our anxiety. Maybe we've allowed ourselves to look into our Father's eyes, to hear that he cares for us, to hear that in Jesus Christ we have a Father who cares. But then sometimes we need to hear a bit of a humorous word from him, and he goes, and we're holding on to this worry. We're holding on, maybe even we're holding on to our worthlessness because we ultimately don't believe he cares. And we look at him, and then Jesus looks at us and says, so is that helping you? Is that making you any stronger? Is that making you any taller? Yeah, you trying to take all the worry that's in tomorrow the next day. How's that going? Now, when you hear this, think of it almost like teasing. It's like, how's that going for you? Have you ever seen a little kid try to, and this is cute, but, I have a young son and a little daughter and a baby son, but then the three-year-old and the six-year-old, they want to pick up things that they can't pick up, right? Now, first of all, when the six-year-old wants to pick up the three-year-old, it's kind of like, no, because then she's going to pick him up and drop him on the floor, and then that's going to be a disaster. But sometimes they want to pick up things. I can pick it up. And then they're trying, and it's cute. But then you kind of look at them and go, how's that working for you, man? It's not. And that's essentially what Jesus is saying. All this worry that you have, all this kind of temptation to think about the next day and the next day and clamp on, or even just to give up, how's that working for you? Have you made yourself taller? And also, doesn't today have enough stuff of his own for you to be like going into the next? There's enough bad things going on today. Think about all the things you have to do and all the things that could happen today. And you can go, whoa. And Jesus says, I understand. Why then go beyond that? Why are you doing this to yourself? And when we internalize that in Jesus Christ, we have a Father who actually cares and says, I know. Then we can allow ourselves to hear this fatherly logic. Hey, how's it helping you? And then in that point, we're free to smile and say, it's not helping me, actually. I've been putting a lot of effort into this thing that's not helped me one bit. And Jesus is going to look at you and say, I know. So what do you want to do with it now? That's what he's saying to you. Hey, I know. You're trying to hold on to this thing thinking it helps you, but it's not, is it? No, it's not. I know. It might be a good idea to give it to me. Do you want to do that? Not just give up on life and not clamp onto it, but to give it to me. Do you think that's a good idea? Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And do you see what Jesus did there? He spoke to your heart. You have a Father who cares. And then he speaks to your mind. That's not working for you. And some of you need to be convinced both in heart and mind that you have a Father who cares. And yet all these things that you're trying in your life are just not working. They're not. And maybe some of you are in that place like, I know everything's working. Not working, that is. But I don't know where to go from there. Okay. Well, do you believe that your Father cares? And that's where you have to stop and say, I don't think so. Some of you believe your Father cares, but you're not seeing quite yet that it's not working for you. But your Father wants to show you, hey, you have a Father who cares. And what you're holding on to and what you're giving up on, this giving up on yourself, and then you holding on to your anxieties, it ain't working. It's just not working. But where do we go from there? From there, it's simple. You let him take it. You let him take it. That is, you let him take the worry. Based on the fact that you know that you have a Father who cares for you, based on the fact that you know that your worry is not helping you, you then just let him take it. Take it out of your hand and say, you know what? I'm going to deal with this right now. All of your future is mine. Jesus says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That's good logic, but it's also basically saying, what does it mean tomorrow will worry about itself? Basically that all the things that God has tomorrow anyway. And then what does he say about the birds? He says, your heavenly Father feeds them. What does he say about the grass? Your heavenly Father clothes them. What does that mean? It's basically saying the birds and the grass, they give God their tomorrow, and God gives them back what they need. Are you ready then to give God your tomorrow, your next year, your next month, and then to allow him to give you what you need right now? Let him take it. Let him take all of your thoughts about tomorrow, all of your thoughts of that make you tempted to give up or to clamp on, and let him take your tomorrow. He feeds the birds. He gives them what they need the next day. Will he not do the same for you? And then after that, you notice that what's happened after he takes it, what do you have? You have empty hands. Do you know what empty hands is a good example of? Faith. What is faith? It's just, what is faith? It's just, okay, that's all I got. But then in that position, it's kind of a vulnerable place, isn't it? Because we don't know what we're going to get. Because oftentimes, Jesus puts something in our hands and we kind of go, that's it? I gave you my tomorrow, this big action, and then you put like a little pebble in my hands, and we kind of go, huh? But Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things are going to be given to you as well. What does that basically mean? Make it a priority to do what's most important first. And sometimes that's really small. You think about your tomorrow, and there's all these big things that grow like monsters and they want to scare you. Let Jesus take that and then let him give you something small and say, you know what? My kingship and the life that I want you to live starts really small. Maybe you have this ambition of improving your family life. You want this family to look like this wonderful, beautiful, just storybook family. And then that makes you really anxious. I don't know what to do with that. Ah, forget it. That's just not me. I'm not a good person anyway. Or I'm going to do this no matter what. And Jesus says, why don't we just start? Why don't we just start with something small? Like, for instance, praying for your kids or your grandkids. Can we just start there? Okay. But what about just tomorrow has enough worries about its own, right? Yeah, okay. Do this now. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does that mean? It means seek his kingship. How am I going to live right now, where I am, right now, under his lordship? And usually that's pretty simple. Pray, love well, and trust the Lord. It's very small, often incredibly unimpressive, but the power of God is in that. For some of you, you're trying to get your financial situation in order. I want to have a good budget. That's a good ambition. And you want to just say, and when all the fears about what could come, they just start to overwhelm you. Oh, I don't know what to do. Yeah, I give up. Or I'm going to clamp on, and then anything else that gets in the way, I'm just going to destroy it. No. Give your tomorrow to God. Have your plan. Have your budget. But why don't you today spend your money on what you need and be thankful to God for what you have? That's a good place to start, isn't it? Yeah, okay. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Financial security is a good ambition, but it's still in tomorrow. What are you going to do today? You're going to be responsible with what he's given you right now. You see, your Father loves you. And Jesus is true to his word, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He's not going to throw something on you and be like, okay, I'm ready, and then whoop, bam, and you're just going to be falling flat on the ground. He gives you something for today. And he says, let's start there. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is, make it your priority to live in God's way in the little ways right now. Make it your priority to live in God's way in the little ways right now. Whatever comes for tomorrow, let it be. But resolve to live God's way in the little ways right now. It's an unimpressive way of life oftentimes. But the power of God is in it. And you want to be a people who live by the power of God, it is choosing to then take that thing, that the little pebble that the Lord has given you, to live in God's way in the little ways right now. We all have our ambitions about the future. We all have our fears about the future. Some of us just want to give up. Some of us want to clamp down in fear and say, I'm going to do this, and we are refusing to receive the little thing that God has given us right now. And why is he only giving me something small right now? Because your Father delights in Jesus Christ. Your Father delights in taking care of you. The question is, do you delight in being taken care of by your Father? And as we step into a new year, you are probably looking at a lot of things that might scare you if you keep looking at tomorrow, the next day, or the next day, or the next day. And you're tempted to give up. I'm never going to be that kind of man. I'm never going to be that kind of mother, or I'm never going to be that kind of father or person. Maybe you're tempted to clamp on and say, you know what, I'm just going to be obsessed about this thing, and I'm going to just cut off all these other people and hurt other people as long as I can get that. But Jesus is saying, no, there's another way. Give your tomorrow to me, and I'm going to walk you to where you need to be. And guess what? All the ambitions that you thought you had, one day you're going to look at them and you're going to just go, because God is going to do something a lot more beautiful than you. Look at the grass. If the grass were asked to design themselves, would they have thought of something as beautiful? Probably not. If you were asked to conceive of your life, will you be able to conceive of something wonderful, beautiful, amazing as God can for you? No. Not only does he enjoy taking care of you, but actually God has high standards too. And he wants to take sinners, and he wants to take those who are in need of him and make them incredibly beautiful, incredibly awesome in the image of his own son. So much so he is not ashamed to identify his son with you. Why is Jesus not ashamed to identify with you? Because he knows in what he's going to make you. And the Lord delights in making things new. And he's really good at it too. Do you want to allow God to make something new out of you? It starts with looking him in the eye. Listening to his logic, letting him take your tomorrow, and then letting him give you what you have for today. Walk with him on that journey. The benefit is you don't have to worry anymore. And the even greater benefit is God's going to be doing something that's really amazing that you would not even have the imagination to think of yourself. Are you willing to do that for yourself? Are you willing to do that with this church? God's going to do things. And one of the main points of Jesus coming on earth to identify with us, to die in our place, to be risen from the dead, to then now be interceding for us at the right hand of the Father, to save us from our sin, but to make us into beautiful, wonderful, awesome sons and daughters of the living God, whom God the Father is not ashamed to call his own. That is your destiny in Jesus Christ, if you just embrace him and let him do his work in you. Let us pray. Our Father, thank you for this text. I pray that as we take in the words of Jesus, Jesus, who, Father, who has revealed your heart, in himself revealed your heart and your mind. Let him speak to our heart and our mind. And by the Spirit, may we have the power to believe him and to give him our tomorrow. Give him our ambitions. Give him our imaginations, so that then we can take the things that you have for us now. And even though you may not be giving us what we want to see in the tomorrow and upon tomorrow upon tomorrows, Lord, we trust you that you are using these little things, the kingdom and your righteousness right now, the little mustard seeds of righteousness that you are calling us into right now, that you are building something wonderful, amazing for all of your sons, for all of your daughters, to reveal your glory in the world, to show that you take small things, you take broken things, you take sinful people, and you make them wonderful. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking our place. Thank you for rising from the dead and giving us a hope. Thank you for praying for us eternally before the Father. And thank you that you sent your Spirit to make us like you, that we can call out to our Father and walk this life of transformation to become more like you and to have fullness of life in you. Just help us to keep walking and to love you and to love others in the process. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.